Well, dear ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of BMW Motorrad, I may welcome you very much here to BMW Hospitality here for the world premiere of the new BMW S1000RR. My name is Rudolf Probst. I am in BMW Lump Group's communication in charge of BMW Motorcycles. In the following hour, we will present to you BMW's first superbike, and we will present it in all due detail. Thereafter, you will be given a chance to actually look at the motorbike in its serial production and take and scrutinize it from close up. We are here to answer your questions both today as well as tomorrow, and we have fielded a number of experts whom I just would like to introduce to you briefly now. Let me start with Henrik von Kuhnheim, the head of the business division BMW Motorrad Motorcycles. Next, Hermann Bohrer, who is the head of our factory, bicycle factory in Berlin, where the S1000RR is actually manufactured. And we have Thomas Weber here amongst us, who is in charge of finances and the business planning of BMW Motorcycles. And in charge for many years of the design of BMW Motorcycles is David Robb here amongst us. Further to that, we've got Dr. Christian Landl here, who is in charge of product development on all BMW model lines. And his team of developers also includes Markus Poschner, the man in charge of the K&S model. And I believe that the S1000RR is really a professional dream being fulfilled, but we'll give him a chance to tell us later in his personal words. Marx's team includes also the development engineer, Stefan Zeit, who's here amongst us. And with that, allow me to welcome our colleagues from the sales division, that is Marketing Worldwide Sales, that's Hans Presser here amongst us, and part of his team in charge of product management, Superbike, that's Joseph Meckler here. And I also would like to welcome in particular the colleagues from BMW Motorrad Motorsport. That's the head of Motorsports, Bertie Hauser here, and his team manager here from our Superbike team, Rainer Bäumer. And obviously our partners in the World Superbike Series, Joseph Hoffmann from Alpha Racing. Now, we all of us are wishing you the best here now for the fifth run on the Superbike on this traditional Autodrome de Monza race course. All the best and good placings for the bike and the riders. Last but not least, allow me to introduce my head, Dr. Kneps, who's in charge of BMW communication, including motor sports. So much on the BMW representatives who will be here available for you to answer your questions today as well as tomorrow. So, well, I now can hand over to Henrik von Kuhnheim, the head of the BMW division, BMW Motorcycles. Please, Mr. von Kuhnheim. Well, dear ladies and gentlemen, you have already seen it. We've got quite a big BMW team here collected for you, so you can see how important this bike actually is for us. So also a warm welcome from my side on this world premiere for our new motorcycle, BMW S1000RR. It is, I would say, for BMW Motorcycles, a really exceptional, and I would even say a historic day. With this new BMW S1000RR, BMW is launching the world premiere on this historic racing track of Monza, and it's the first super sports introduced by BMW Motorcycles with an inline four-cylinder engine. With it, we are demonstrating for the first time in this class of the most sportive road motorcycles the innovative strength which has always been a hallmark of BMW Motorcycles, because this new motorcycle is a complete BMW in-house production and is manufactured exclusively in our factory in Berlin. And allow me to stress that once more, this is an in-house production and is manufactured by BMW in our motorcycle factory in Berlin. It's a milestone in the now 86-year-old history of BMW, and this totally new motorbike is not only a highlight as far as power to weight is concerned and also performance, and Mr. Lander will come to address this in detail in a minute, but is also setting a new benchmark as far as riding dynamics, riding safety, and innovation is concerned. both our designers as well as engineers have really wrapped up their entire know-how and integrated it in the realization of this demanding project. And as Mr. Propster said, and also maybe a little live stream for Mr. Poschner, has been realized. It has always been our declared objective that we would offer a motorbike which from the start would see eye to eye with the established competitors. And I'm saying here deliberately, on an eye level with our competitors. At the same time, the new bike really carries all the genes in it that have always been a hallmark and a byword for BMW motorbikes. Innovative technical solutions in many details. An exceptional, unmistakable design. And a high safety, I would even say highest safety standard. And last but not least, BMW typical quality and longevity. Thus, the S1000RR doesn't only stand for uncompromising sportivity on the racetrack, but much more. Its well thought out general concept and the perfection right to the minutest detail also pay respect to the sport of comfort and the straightforward rideability in everyday situations. Thus, BMW really is a byword for top riding characteristics and pure, undiluted and controlled riding joy on two wheels. To bring it down into a nutshell, the S1000R is the BMW amongst the superbikes. So, dear ladies and gentlemen, a lot of speculation has already been going on about this bike, and many reports have also been launched. Thanks for it. Some of it holds true, although other things are not quite correct. For months already, we have been asked whether we are really going in the right direction with this project, whether this kind of bike actually fits BMW, or whether we are in a position to actually face up to the enormous technical know-how of our competitors in this, what is for us, a new segment, and to do so from day one. But tonight, you will be given the chance to come and make your own verdict. What our engineers have done in about 4 years' development time, we are very keen to hear your response and feedback. Obviously, we're all far too aware that you will only be able to get a fully rounded assessment of the bike once you have been able to actually drive the bike yourself. However, I have to ask you to be a bit more patient here as of today, but nonetheless, you will get the chance this year, because in the late autumn of 2009, you will get the chance to test this motorcycle. The launch into the market will then be in Europe at the end of this calendar year, 2000 year, I assume. It could be well seen as a Christmas present. And as of January 2010, we will then launch it into the overseas markets. Well, dear ladies and gentlemen, what actually brought us to enter this hotly contested segment? Well, it's the fascination of the motorcycle and its genes bred in motor racing. We are extending the brand image of BMW motorcycles. We're expanding it by another, and I would say, an extremely sportive and highly emotional component. With it, we intend to enthuse and win over new customers for the BMW brand, those which we have so far not fully reached with our previous product family. We are thus expanding our offer quite deliberately in this sizable and highly interesting segment in which we have so far not been represented. And just to give you a few facts and figures about the volumes we're talking about. At present, about 85,000 super sport motorbikes are actually sold with a volume of 1,000cc. Now, this segment has been stable for years and is fed and served in the main by the four Japanese competitors. Key markets here are United States, Germany, Italy, the UK, and also France. Further to that, you have also markets in Japan, Spain, and Australia, and a few other smaller southern European markets where we have a really strong and well-matured superbike scene. BMW Motorbike wants to establish itself and gain a long-term foothold in this segment. We think that in the midterm, we can manage to acquire a market share of 10% plus in this segment. We intend to win over, well, the main of these customers from our competitors. Thus, we are also thinking that a relatively small proportion of traditional BMW customers will switch from their previous models to this new BMW superbike. So, as I said, I think that proportion will be relatively low. In order to stand our ground successfully in this highly sportive segment, it is mandatory that we face up to the International Motor Racing Challenge. And this is something you will actually see with your own eyes tomorrow here in Monza. It is in particular the highly sportive, ambitious superbike customers who consider their motorbike to be an exclusive sports utility and who, I would say, even foster and demand this close proximity with racing machines. For this reason, well, picking this location to present the S1000RR was by no means a coincidence, and it was quite deliberate here at this legendary high-speed track in the Royal Park of Monza. The BMW team, Motorrad Motorsport, has actually entered the World Superbike Championship since the start of this year. As provided for in the rules of the championship, the new S1000RR serves as the basis for the production-based racing machine, and our two works riders, Troy Corsa and Ruben Xaus, are riding it. Now, for BMW Motorrad, the Superbike World Championship is the ideal stage to provide proof of the potential which the S1000RR actually holds. It is a race series which is enjoying internationally a really growing popularity, and the visitors have the chance to see their bike directly and in direct comparison with the others. And this all around the globe, on all the four continents. We call them Asia, Australia, Europe and North America. Now, compared to MotoGP, where we here with the Superbike have a relatively big starter field, contains all relevant competitors in our segment of the Superport motorcycles. And this makes this series so exciting and so attractive for the visitors. And obviously for the producers, dear ladies and gentlemen, and this is an important aspect, the costs here, especially in our testing economic times, costs are, how shall I put it, in a really justifiable context. I am therefore convinced, and I want to say this quite clearly, ladies and gentlemen, that this race series will be and is having a bright future. However, I also want to stress it is also necessary that marketing, especially on the TV front, must be significantly ramped up in order to really get a dominance in motor racing. The entry of BMW motorcyclists in the Superbike World Championship makes this exciting race series even more attractive, and we are all too aware of this huge sporting challenge. It is not only the motorbike, but also the team around it that has been convened completely new. Unlike the competitors, we don't yet have any data sets or records or experience from previous years. Thus, when we go to a race, we're really coming with an almost blank sheet, because all of these racetracks are new ground for us. Therefore, give us a bit of time and patience, and 2009 will definitely, for us, be an apprenticeship year. All the more, however, the results that we also managed to bring in this afternoon and from the previous weeks, and the feedback from our drivers, they are both giving us and making us confident that we are definitely going in the right direction. For the end of the season, we wish to end up somewhere in the top 10. In 2010, then, and here this is a clear objective, we must really make strides and a real step forward. This is something which particularly applies to my colleagues here in the front row. Besides success on the racetrack, however, it is also the economic success which is even more important. We are highly optimistic that the serial production, with its unique product features, will, in the superbike scene, raise a few eyebrows, and with it, we will be able to win over a sizable market share. This is something we are convinced. So, dear ladies and gentlemen, before we now, in a few minutes, will actually reveal to you the new S1000R in its final serial version, we will now have our Vice President of Product Development and Model Lines, Christian Lander, and David Ropp, will explain to you in all detail the BMW S1000RR. Gratitude from my side for your attention, and I look forward to interesting discussions in the wake of this presentation. Allow me to stress once more, this is a historic day for BMW motorcycles, and thank you for being here in such great numbers and to be with us here at this world premiere. Okay, I now hand over to Christian Landel. Well, Dr. Kunham, thank you very much for this kind introduction. Regrettably, you will now have to, well, be a bit more patient with my explanations before you actually get the chance to see the bike itself. and before we will reveal these wonderful motorcycles to you. Well, first of all, also from my side, a warm welcome to you here today at the world premiere of our new S1000RR. Dear ladies and gentlemen, we are all too aware that with entering in the super sport segment, we are obviously going to comply with the rules that are customary in this market segment. Now, this includes, from our perspective, top performance of the motorcycle at simultaneous best functional quality, as well as continuous model maintenance and model updates. Amongst the rules and regulations, it also is part and parcel that we successfully participate in the race series. Now, on the basis of these rules, and on the basis also of our own claims, we have defined for the S1000R the following development targets. Top-notch ratings on output and performance, an excellent riding and response to gas drivability, a highly stable driver with top handling attraction, an extremely compact and dynamic design, and a very low vehicle weight, and last but not least, a top quality. Having said so, we've played and laid particular stress on having both the everyday usability as well as the riding quality in no way fall behind the overall performance of the bike. In order to increase safety and manageability of the bike still further, we also wanted to have, on top of that, innovative driver assistance systems such as ABS or traction control and available as options ex-factory. With the development of the S1000RR, BMW Motorcycles obviously entered absolutely uncharted territory. This was both for the development team, my team, an enormous challenge, an enormous scope of task. At the same time, it also was a tremendous motivation for all the employees involved. Now, if you were to ask me, where is the team of BMW taking its know and expertise from? Well, then at this point, allow me to mention once more Markus Poschner here at this point, because he himself, as a former race driver himself, actually, and having made his home in the scene, he brought in a lot of expertise and know-how. And on top of that, also, he had a number of young and also older colleagues who had been active in racing and welded them together to one team, and all of them bringing with them a high degree of motivation to master this challenge. Well, a benchmark that we set ourselves was one that we set relatively higher. Right from the start, we wanted to be right in the midst of it. How well we have managed that, dear ladies and gentlemen, is something you, dear ladies and gentlemen, will reflect us in the course of the upcoming year. Now, in the conceptualization of the motorcycle, we always put the requirements of the drivers first. The combined ergonomics focused on the front wheel assists the drivers to actually cope with the high performance without tensing up. At the same time, the section around the knee posture was kept as tight as possible. This follows the exemplary dimensions of various 600 super sport bikes. This high claim also meant an enormous challenge to design and the package work. We fought hard here over every single millimeter in order to achieve an optimum. Further to that, we also kept the heavy components around the vehicle's center of gravity. An example of this is the positioning of the highly compact exhaust system underneath the engine. David Ropp will later say a few more words about the design, but just that much from my side. The required dynamics that we wanted to have in the basic proportions, i.e., it was not simple to simply implement the requirements to cooling, air resistance, driver safety, and intake air routing. Obviously, here, the close cooperation with the aerodynamics department of our vehicle department was of great help. Thanks to countless calculations and attempts in the wind tunnel, we have actually found an optimum here. Thus, we finally managed, despite the huge large volume pre-silencer underneath the engine, to have the thermal load on the drivetrain as low as possible and to actually lower it to absolutely uncritical figures. Besides the air routing in and around the vehicle, also the uptake of the air was given utmost attention. By utilizing the ramp pressure at the intake, we can at top speeds now achieve a remarkable additional increase in performance. The reward of our all-in-all very intensive package work is a highly slim and slender, athletically modeled bike, where, in our view, every detail is matching and fitting in form and function. I think when you are afterwards in this presentation, you will actually see the vehicle in the original and come to take a seat. You will confirm that this is something we finally and really truly managed. Obviously, that you can be successful with a number of different engine and motor concepts has been proven by our competitors with V2, V4, or even with straight 4 power concepts. It was our conclusion, however, after intensive pre-trials, was you can be successful with a number of different concepts. All you've got to do is you've got to get them right. Now, with our engine, we've decided to opt for a 4-cylinder motor. It's a concept that offers the best conditions for a light and solid drivetrain and facilitates a space-saving construction of the intake and the exhaust systems. The principal engine, with the exceptional stroke-to-bore ratio of 0.621, serves as basis for a high-performance engine with an enormous broad range of engine speeds. For the exact valve control right through to highest torques, the engine of the S1000RR has cam-follow-operated valves. Now, the masses moved with such a cam-follow control are about 50% lower than with a solution with cup tappets. The cam follower is deployed with the S1000RR, and I think you have actually received one of these, yet significantly smaller and lighter than those that you may know from the K series. Besides, the cam follower is also the mass of the valve that plays an important role. We are using titanium here for all valves, as well as an extra light alu fiber material for all moving spring plates on the valves. The effect of this is, and that is the same that you already know from the K1000, is small moving parts. Fast valve acceleration resulting in high level of free flow rate sections and a high torque. The camshafts themselves are made from forging stocks and are fully machined. The camshafts are actuated via a train gear, wheels, and short timing chain. With that, we achieve a stiff and exact actuation of the valves. The sprockets on the camshafts can be kept relatively small by this pre-transmission. Well, dear ladies and gentlemen, these examples have indicated and can tell you that we have indeed used very elaborate solutions for the principal engine. Similar efforts were taken also for the periphery around the engine. For a perfect filling, we also have a good constructed airbox. Here, we used every single millimeter available in the vehicle in order to provide optimum of volume for the intake. Further to that, to optimize the torque curve, we are using an intake manifold. Depending on the torque engine speed, an adjuster motor varies the length of the intake manifolds. Service to provide optimum cylinder charge, the appropriate amount of fuel is fed into the engine at all times through 4 injection jets, each on the throttle butterfly rail and above the intake manifold. They are controlled either separately or together. The actuation of these throttle butterflies are controlled by an electric motor. This offers an excellent means to translate the driver's commands direct and exactly into acceleration. The fuel injection and ignition control is overseen by the most innovative digital motor control that you will find anywhere in the motorcycle segment. The software of the so-called BMSKP is an in-house development by BMW Motorrad. Key features are a fully sequential cylinder selective injection, an integrated control, the quickest handling of the manual sensor signals by state-of-the-art microelectronics, an integrated torque control for the traction control DTC, idle and cold start control, a compact build, as well as a low weight and self-diagnosis capacity. On the side of the exhaust, like us, we took great efforts to meet our performance requirements. Besides the already well-known flap technology between the front and the rear silencer, to regulate the emission noise, we have, in addition, an exhaust manifold that is actuated by an adjusting motor, actuated itself by a twin flap. Depending on the engine speed and the position of the butterfly, it releases or closes the two exhaust pipes. These flaps allow us to influence the oscillations in exhaust gas mass flow, increasing torque curve still further. Simply said, if the flaps are open, we have more torque in the mid-engine speeds. If the flaps are closed, we have more performance in the high engine speeds. The result, dear ladies and gentlemen, of this quite considerable effort which we took in drive time is evident in the output and torque curve. At 142 kilowatt, equaling 193 horsepower at 13,000 RPM, the S1000RR really comes top of the whole segment. Allow me to mention also here the torque that comes at 14,000 RPM. The maximum torque of 112 newton meters is reached at 9,750 RPM. To actually forward this engine output to the rear wheel, we have a multi-disc all-butch clutch with 10 friction plates and anti-hopping function. A highly compact 6-speed gearbox, vertically stacked shaft and chain to the left of the engine. Well, dear ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you that this package allows you, in every situation, to have enough acceleration at whichever or wherever you are going with the bike. Key for the total performance of the bike is obviously that the suspension and the running gear is capable of actually transmitting the engine output. The main frame of the S1000RR is made as an aluminium bridge frame and integrates the engine as a load-carrying element. The frame is welded by a BMW motorcycle factory in Berlin from four castings. With this construction, we were able to meet the challenge and the requirements on the one hand of a slender waist and also a voluminous airbox. At the same time, with extensive calculations and simulations, we also managed to achieve an optimum in distribution of stiffness values on the frame. The frame rear is made of aluminium profiled tubes and is integrated with the mainframe. This brings together low weight with a robustness and sturdiness as appreciated in practice. The constructive arrangement of the swing arm is a key factor for the mechanic grip and good traction. A possibly the longest possible rear wheel swing arm reduces lift up and wheel relief. The swing arm is integrated in the frame with eccentric sleeves, offering the swing arm to be adjusted in height when you take the bike onto the racetrack. The swing arm itself is made from deep drawn alu plates welded together and with a cast dish bottom. With this, we were able to meet the requirements of high torsion and side stiffness and at the same time meeting our low weight requirements. The spring strut is connected by a linkage to the swing arm on the frame. The upper spring strut mounting can be adjusted by eccentric grooves. Unique in this segment is our generously dimensioned upside-down fork with a fine tube measuring 46 millimeters. Standard here in our segment, we would find 43 millimeters. Now, with this somewhat slightly bigger dimensioned fork, we have a higher braking stability as well as a much clearer feedback to the driver. The steering head angle at an angle of 66.1% is relatively steep, while the wheel caster at 95.9mm relatively short, while the wheelbase at 1,432mm is relatively long. This arrangement, however, always followed and pursued the objective to make the bike very handable, manageable and highly stable. As customary in this segment, telescopic fork and spring strut can be fully adjusted. For simplified handling, we have marked the settings clearly on the levels 1 to 10. Further to that, all adjusting elements are easily accessible. This, I believe, also shows that we definitely, on the development team, had knowledge and experience of practical riding. Particularly nice, and as I think particularly nice, are the 10-spoke pressure cast aluminium wheels, radially mounted 4-piston fixed capillar brakes, specially developed by the company Brembo, are activating brake linings and 320mm brake discs. This gives us good adjusting and easy dosing. As customary with W, the brake disc is arranged to the front wheel in a floating arrangement. With us, dear ladies and gentlemen, let me take a look at the body and design. As you will see, the body has been kept very close to the vehicle itself. Intensive work in the wind tunnel, however, allowed us nonetheless to give the bike optimum wind protection to relieve the head and the upper body of the driver. For example, I think the wonderfully designed openings on the windshield prevent vibration of the helmet even at top speeds. In order to meet our demanding target dry weight of 183 kilograms, or when fully tanked at 204 kilograms, we, I think as the only ones in this segment, are using an aluminium tank that we developed together with our BMW factory in Eisenach. One example for the integration of the functions, and with it also the weight reduction, is the fairing made from pressure cast magnesium, which at the same time serves as air duct for the ram air system, as headlight, horn and mirror holder. Like many other BMW motorcycles, the S1000RR uses, to actually control the drive functions, a CAN bus system. The control unit is integrated, saving space and weight right into the instrument cluster. The instrument cluster itself offers more functions than is customary in this segment. Besides displays such as analog torque, digital speed or gear indicators, you will also be able to see the selected drive mode. In addition, the driver has the means to switch the display to race mode and then receives information about lap times, for example. In connection with options available from a factory, such as the lap trigger, the driver thus has the means of obtaining precise time measurements for his own analysis. Further functions are, for example, usage of the adjustable shift light that can also be used as a torque indicator for starts in racing. The asymmetrical headlight follows the principle of maximum effect at a lowest possible weight. That's also why the high beam is significantly lower than the low beam. Turn indicators as well as number plates can be easily removed in order to adjust the bike for the racetrack. Well, dear ladies and gentlemen, the program of options X Factory for the S1000RR contains the following elements: race ABS, race ABS with traction control DTC, the HP gear shift assistant, and in addition also an anti-theft warning system, which I believe could be quite a sensible little detail for such a wonderful bike. Well, for the first time, this makes ABS and traction control available in a series production motorbike. You furthermore have four modes: rain, sport, race and slick, in which you can adjust the engine as well as the race ABS and the traction control DTC either to your track or your tyre selection. The driver does so by switching to the required program from the ends of the handlebar. The slick mode is one that is the only one to be activated by using a plug underneath the seat. And as the name already says, we recommend to use this mode only in connection when you actually have slicks mounted on the bike. In the rain mode, engine output is limited at 110 kW, equaling 150 horsepower, and the actuation behavior and the performance of the engine are smooth. In all other modes, you have the full engine output available with the different direct actuation and behavior available to you. With the traction control itself, unlike with the previous BMW system ASC, the inclination of the vehicle is also taken into consideration by a sensor cluster and calculated in the control behavior. Thus, the system will detect a slip of the rear wheel and will interfere in the ignition angle and also activate the throttle butterflies to reduce the engine torque. If you use slicks and an inclination of less than 20 degrees, you will be able to actually have a wheelie for at least 5 seconds. So, dear ladies and gentlemen, it holds true, as with any other assistance system, DTC supports the driver in difficult situations, but it can, on principle, not overcome the laws of physics, or they will not be newly defined by these assistance systems. The Race ABS is a completely new developed system, which has been made even lighter than all the previously known integral systems. At 1.6 kilograms weight for the control unit and 2.5 kilograms total weight, this system provides excellent conditions for being deployed in the super sport segment. Besides its low weight, the system also proves its worth by an improved control behavior. Responsible for this is not only the excellent fine-tuning, but also the use of 4 pressure sensors, which make it even more better possible than in the past to distinguish between a grind wave and a blocking rear wheel. Race ABS, likewise, can be adjusted with a mode switch to different road and tyre conditions and situations. Thus, when using the slick or mode, the race or slick mode, the liftoff detection does not interfere the driver's wish to brake, but what it does is simply locks and prevents any locking of the wheels. By activating the rear brake, the brake drift is enabled. The objective in designing our new Race ABS was not only to improve driving safety in road traffic, but also to offer the sporty driver to use the safety plus of an ABS system on the racetrack itself. Now, both assistance systems, DTC and Race ABS, can, however, also be deactivated if you so wish. When riding the S1000RR on the straight, it can actually excel with its further unique feature. What you already may know from other BMW motorcycles, the HP gearing assistance, you will be able to gain extra ground and meters when accelerating on the straight. And with that, dear ladies and gentlemen, allow me, after so many details, to briefly just summarize and wrap up. The new S1000RR is the, at the moment, best performing and highest performance supersport motorcycle. Besides top driving properties, it offers an optimum driving dynamics and breathtaking handling and acceleration and braking stability, both of which holds true for the racetrack as for normal road traffic. In the conception of the bike, we laid great stress on safe maneuverability and everyday usability. The S1000RR is the lightest super sportler with ABS in the 1000 class and has the best performance weight ratio in its class. With the adjustable driving modes and the innovative driver assistance system Race ABS and Traction Control DTC, we are offering a unique active safety level without limiting the performance of the bike in any way. The S1000RR thus also meets all applicable environmental standards and also has the potential to meet future emission stipulations by offering 2 fully controlled 3-wheel catalytic converters and motor electronics. That the S1000RR will be the basis for our successful commitment in motorsport, I think, has been proven by the first races in the Superbike World Championship. Obviously, we are just as you, as eager and interested to see how Troy Kors and Ruben Xaus will do tomorrow at the actual race in Monza. So, with that, dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention, and obviously look forward to interesting discussions with you after the presentation. I now may ask David Robb to give you a few details about the design.
So, thank you, Dr. Christian Landahl. This is getting exciting. I'm pretty excited right now. I always get the easy part. I get to talk about design. The exciting part here is that we're talking about a typical BMW. And everything that's been talked about so far has been the result of over 4 years of work. These 4 years of work we haven't really talked about. And I'd like to mention it really quickly. All of the many people that have been involved in this have done something typically BMW. They've looked at a new area, a challenge, and found typical BMW ways of approaching the problem, coming up with possibilities, and picking the best solution, not always only for one detail, but for a complete package. So what's important here has already been talked about, a balanced package, something that's great fun to ride. It's performance, 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 and good looks, good looks, good looks. So to take a look at the process, how do we go about it? Of course, first, to be good at competing, you have to know who your competitors are. So we took a look at motorcycles in this class. And when you do that, you see that there is something going on here that seems to be repeating itself. Take a look at all of the architectures. What I mean by that is how things are placed. There's a steel tank. There's a front end that looks like you could kind of slide it on from the front. And there's a plastic back end. Now, if that seems to be the formula for what's out there already, what does that mean for us? Well, the first thing is, how do we go into this field that seems to be a variation, many variations on one theme, and offer the customer and the rider something that hasn't been there before? Well, there are many themes going on. We also do recognize that some people are changing those proportions a little bit, but in some cases, it's even maybe adding height or maybe adding visual weight. So what we do is we look at what's out there, what's the feeling of the product, can I fall in love with this? And what I've already mentioned is that it seems to be a formula that everybody's using. Tank, drop in from the top, front end gets moved in from the side, and the back end gets moved in from the back. Well, we're not completely new to sport bikes now. Of course, we've done some bikes in the last couple of years, which we have looked at as well. This motorcycle, for instance, did not follow that formula. We have, of course, a different engine to work around. But already here, you see proportions that don't fit into what others have been doing. There's a separate head. There's a flow of bodywork. There's even something that I'll take a look at now that's missing. And that's how others do their visual flow. We'll talk about that. Something here that every other motorcycle has is it almost looks like a snowplow. This visual flow of the front fairing actually kind of drags your eye back towards the front, and I feel kind of slows down the eye moving over this surface. If you look at our surfaces, the eye is actually flowing past. It's not going down into the ground. It's very quickly passing the shape, or the other way around, this fast shape is passing through your line of sight. If we take that and apply that to this motorcycle as well, we see there's something happening here that isn't happening with the others. So we talk about the technical engineering, all of the thoughts that have gone into it. We've found an expression for this that is different than what's already there. And that is, of course, intentional. If you look at this shape of fairing alone, you would say that comes from a race bike. Well, it does. But it also is something that has to go on the street. And when we approach that, we can say, well, there's lighting is necessary. But even that we can do in a way that looks like, for this in this case, an endurance bike. So an endurance motorcycle, endurance racing bike, has this look to it. And of course, if you take that one step further and say, for the street, we have certain things that we want to take care of, then we go to even more. So here you have a typical BMW solution with a very important air inlet in the middle for performance, performance, performance. And you have a look that fits the family. It's something you've come to expect from us. And when you take a look at it further, it's not even new in many ways. We have a number of features when you see the bike from the front for the first time. Completely new and also familiar. We have the split phase. Certainly here at the racetrack, very, very obvious. When you look at all the motorcycles coming at you, they always have a big number field right in the middle. Except for us, we have a split face. The left and right of the fairings have come from the tank, have come from the body sides, and they carry through to the front, and that's the first thing that you see. Here you take a look at the other motorcycles that we've had that have led up to it. There's even an HP2 Megamoto out in front of or a building here, and that has a split face. So you get this look that you say, I've seen that somewhere before. When you combine that, you see how this all leads into new expression for this motorcycle. This is something that I've talked about already. It's iconic. It's something that you notice from a distance. There's reason for it being that way. It's something that you can say, I recognize the BMW. Here we're already showing a little bit of the bike in 2D and sketches. We go into detail and say one thing that's very important, of course, is BMW. And when we take a look at the proportions that I showed you at the beginning, how things tend to be one big surface, we already see there's this arrowhead, Pfeilspitz, you say in German. And it's pointing to something that's very important. It is a BMW. We're giving the BMW mark pride of place. And it's kind of saying, follow me this way. Floating panels we've had for many years on bikes, even in our touring area. Little details underneath are not unimportant. They are important as well. You've already seen the many shots from the rear of the bike. Very important here. On the one side of the bike, on the production bike, we have the radiator and the fan that needs to push the warm air out of that side. So we've got a large opening there to get that air efficiently out of that motor area. On the other side, we don't have the same need. So we don't need a big hole. We've tried to reduce it as much as we can. We've got a very iconic look, something that you recognize also from a distance. We go into more details. Very interesting detail down in the cooling area. When you take a look at the motor spoiler down underneath the engine, it doesn't have the typical boat peak. It actually has a split. And it's a very efficient solution to get an air fin in there, an air foil, and it improves the cooling down underneath the spoiler. That gives us what we call a twin-tipped motor spoiler, which matches the twin-tipped taillight. So you see lots of cues that repeat themselves on the motorcycle. And we see that here with the twin-tipped in the front and the twin-tipped in the back. So again, you take a look at this and say, I've never seen anything like that. It's a super bike. It is a typical BMW. We see that here in the first sketches. And that's a quick run through theoretically. And now we'll get to the look at the real stuff. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, please welcome our work riders Troy Kort and Ruben Xaus and our new BMW S1000 RR.